call this Finance Audit Facilities Planning Committee meeting to order. The date is Thursday, October the 18th, 2012, and the time is 6:03. Can you please call roll?
Mr. Armando Rodriguez?
Present.
Ms. Patsy Mendoza?
Here.
Ms. Rachel Quintana?
Here.
All committee members present.
Okay, now I'll take us to the next agenda item.
Agenda item 2A, presentation of bond series 2006A timeline. Presenter, Mrs. Aguirre and Mrs. Rubina.
Okay. And Jeff, come in. Okay.
This is us.
Good evening. This evening we'll be presenting or reviewing a possible refunding opportunity that has come up. We have our financial advisors, Mr. Jeff Robert and Ms. Maria Rubina, here with us to provide the information. You did receive a timeline last week in the packet, and then you just received a booklet with the refunding information that Mr. Robert will be sharing.
Thank you. My name is Jeff Robert with First Southwest, Maria Rubina, my colleague. I'm going to quickly go over the booklet that I will all of you have in front of you, discussing the prospective refunding, and then Maria is going to go over kind of the proposed timeline. As we go through this, if any of you have any questions, please don't hesitate to stop us. If you flip over to page 2, what we're talking about is what's called a bank-qualified refunding of the District 2006A issue. What I've shown here, and at the very bottom left, I've defined what a bank-qualified issue is. For a district, they're an issue that does under $10 million in the calendar year of tax-exempt financing. Banks are able to purchase those bonds and actually realize some of the tax-exempt benefit of those bonds versus if it was over $10 million per issuer, they would not realize the benefit. But what I'm showing on the left side there is bank-qualified rates on the left of the chart, non-bank-qualified rates on the right, and as you can see, starting in that green shaded area, you can see that bank qualified rates are far more appealing than non-bank qualified rates. What I have on the right is I've graphed the rates from 2019 through 2032 on the upper graph, and then on the bottom right, what I have is just an area chart really showing how big of a spread there is between those rates. It gets up as high as, I believe, over 90 basis points in a few of those years. On the next page, what we're showing is the amount of 2006A that we proposed that the district refund, $6.21 million in principal. The maturity date is 2014 through 31. The interest rates range from 4 1/8 to 5 1/8%. The call date is August 15, 2015, and the final maturity date is August 15th to 31. On the next page, showing what we would project the structure to look like. In the green chart on the left side, if you go to the slightly light blue shaded area, the savings, you can see what we're doing is we're structuring all of the savings in the early years. We're doing this to accommodate the not only the bonds that were issued last summer, but the bonds that are likely to be issued sometime early to mid of next year. So we're taking $344,000 in 14, $345,000 in 15, and we're using current rates plus 10 basis points to try and be conservative. In no year would we take a loss. We have some savings in every year. We just want to structure as much as we could up the front. The par amount of the refunded bond would be $6.21 million, which would not increase the amount of bonds outstanding for the district. PV savings would be $732,000. The PV savings percentage in red there, you see 11.791. Typically in our industry, anything above 4% is worthy of consideration. In this instance, we're far above that. The higher that number, the better. The all-in true interest cost is about 2.45%. The average rate on the bonds that we're talking about refinancing is 4.91. The call date, once again, August 15th to 15th, we're not extending the maturity, and all the costs are covered within the refunding set. There's no out-of-pocket costs. For the meeting on Tuesday, bond council will be present to present for the board's consideration a parameter refunding bond order, a parameter bond refunding order. This is allowable under Section 1207 of the Texas Government Code. We've done this before, but what the district, what the board would be doing would be to delegate final pricing authority to two administration members on refunding. The main parameter is a minimum savings threshold. We have the ability to price literally on any day if we're able to meet the minimum savings threshold, then the staff members would have the ability to approve it on behalf of the district. You see there at the bottom, the only way that the issue can be approved is if the parameters are met. On the next page, the reason why we do this is flexibility and timing. Once the order is approved, we can literally go into day-to-day mode. If something happens in the marketplace and we decide we don't want to price that day, we can pull back and price on a different day. If we were to do this the way that we used to do it before parameter orders were allowed, we literally schedule pricing for a board meeting day, not knowing whether that was a good day in the market or not. These are just the proposed Series 2012 refunding parameters. We can certainly change this. But what we have right now for delegated pricing officer, superintendent, or executive director of financial services, the minimum savings threshold I have there is 6%. We can put higher. I mean, I fully believe it'll be higher, but I don't want to get into a situation where if the market starts moving away from us, then we'd have to come back before the board again in order to get approval of the parameter. But right now, 6% PD's in there. The numbers that you saw were 11.9, I believe, right now. So the next one, the maximum true interest cost, 3%. Maximum principal amount, once again, won't exceed what we're refunding. Final maturity date, once again, won't exceed the final term of the 2006A issue. And the parameter authority is good for 180 days. The next two pages I don't have on the overhead here, just because as you can see in your booklets, there's a lot of numbers. I think it'd be very difficult for us to see it. But what I wanted to do was update kind of our pro forma. It shows all of the district's outstanding debt. On page 8 here, what I have are the updated tax base and ADA assumptions, which feed over in the far right, showing the state and local share percentages. And if you flip over to the last page, what I have is a long pro forma page that shows, just working from left to right, in column 2, the district's existing debt service. It does not include the 2011 bond program. That will be detailed over further to the right there.
Jeff, yes? just real quick, do you have what you all were predicting for like 2012, 2013 when you're looking at the tax base growth rate?
Do I have?
On the simulation that you gave us about a couple of years ago, well, actually when we were first looking at the bond.
You talk about comparing this to what we had used for preparation of the election?
Correct.
I don't have that with me. I can certainly email that.
Okay, and so I'm sure we were conservative within those numbers, and if you look at the 2013, and of course you go back to looking at 2014, going back to conservative, is that the same looking, were we looking at 2% and we actually had a 13.96% growth?
Yes, and what I did on the 13, I don't know that I had seen the certified for fiscal 12, but in 13, I do a little bit of a calculation that also reflects the frozen levy and convert that frozen levy into value, which ups that. I don't know if that was done on that 12 value or not, but the 13 value is an accurate value based upon the certified numbers that you received from El Paso County.
And I do have the numbers, and I can provide them
in our Friday paper.
Yes.
Okay. And just looking at, I mean, that's tremendous growth rate when you look at it.
Yes, and as you'll see in a second, I think that's, that combined with some other factors is why I firmly believe you'll be able to do the election for a far lower tax rate than what was communicated to voters, which hopefully will be well received. But the other growth assumptions, Ms. Rodriguez, underneath this 2013, those are the same percentages that were used
the pre-election?
Yes, sir.
So it was probably about the same number, either 2 or 3%, but we saw, are we looking at a 10% consistency?
I wouldn't count.
It would be nice.
Yes. So on the next page, though, if you'll, once again, on column 2, the existing debt service, the bluish purple there in column 3, that would be the structure, once again, refunding that shows the same savings that was reflected on a prior page. In column 4 and 5, the IFA and EDA funding that the district is currently receiving. And then in columns 6 through 12, 6 through 8 is the issue that we did last summer. It's already out there, so it is existing. It's finalized now. In column 9 through 12, what I've assumed is that what if we did the remaining authorization as early as February? We could do it as early as February or as late as July. We certainly want to get it in that timeframe because I'd like to get the payment in prior to August 31 to get this thing eligible for EDA funding going forward. The new EDA funding, and you can see on the projection for the remaining authorization that I've used current rates plus 50 basis points. So hopefully this is conservative and it'll actually look better once we finalize it, because you can survey it's 50 basis points.
Do you foresee under the EDA that, you know, the state, the 83rd legislative session is coming about, do you foresee it being looked at as part of the structural deficit to actually address it, or what's y'all's
That's why I'd like to go ahead and get in, because right now the way the law is written is that there's what we call a permanent roll forward in there, meaning if you have payment in the second year biennium, it automatically qualifies for EDA funding going forward. Prior to that permanent roll forward being put into place, they literally did it every single legislative session one by one. I don't think, and obviously they can do whatever they decide to do, but I don't think that they would come back and say, okay, you know, we're going to take away the permanent roll forward and take away anything
in 2013. So the permanent roll forward goes up to what? So if the state legislator would say, you know what, we're not funding EDA this coming
legislature. What they would say is we're going to fund EDA on issues that have a payment in prior to 8/31 of 13, but going forward.
8/31/13 of that year, so of 2013?
2013. So what we would want to do is we'd want to get a payment in prior to 8/31 of 13, which is why we want to sell no later than July at the absolute latest. They could take away the permanent provision, because right now it says if you have a payment the second year of the biennium, it doesn't give a specific year. If you have a payment the second year of the biennium, it qualifies for EDA funding going forward. They could go back to say, you know what, we're going to make that decision every legislative session whether or not we want to qualify issues for EDA funding.
And what about on the IFA side? Are we looking at, it probably won't be funded?
Yeah, I mean, the last application cycle they funded was 2010. They did not appropriate any IFA funding the last go round. I haven't heard a lot of talk about, you know, them doing it this go round either. I would certainly recommend, you know, getting with your local legislators and making certain that they're aware of how important that is.
Could you do that, Dr. Murphy, please?
I actually went to a session on this at TASB. What about the fast growth movement and the efforts of those districts, which we actually are a member of that coalition, to get a revenue stream there, similar to IFA, but just to fast growth?
Well, that would help as well. I mean, there's no question they've got a lot of things on their agenda, and that's one of them. But, you know, any new revenue stream would help Kennedy OISD and obviously you know, all the MSRA districts, as well as a lot of this fast growth that depend on state funding as well.
Doc, I think after the November election, we're going to have to schedule something before they go into a legislative session, maybe like a town hall with all of our legislative delegation, and then put the resolutions on so that way they know where we stand on, especially the EDA and IFA.
And I mean, it would be in the far west Texas as well.
Yeah. Up. But we'll do our own local, so we our own grassroots.
If you go over to column 18, you can see the tax rate projections. And once again, I think there's some conservatism built into this model as it stands right now. So, you know, very good chance that it could look better than what we've been showing. Because you can see the maximum tax rate that we're calculating right now is 36.67. And I think we had talked about it being over 39 cents you know, pre-election. And really, the tax-based growth refunding that we did last year, the refunding we're proposing now, and then just the low interest rates have all combined to really help out with, you know, keeping that rate lower than what was projected.
Any questions from the colleagues?
I have one question. It's just for clarification. On page 4, the savings, I read 777952.
Yes,
on page 9, in the blue shaded, 775169.
Because the savings in the very first year, 2013, is so minimal, I didn't even include it in the last page. But that's the difference. It's 2,783, and I just didn't include that just because it's so minimal.
Thank you, Jim. That was my only question.
Anybody else have any questions? I guess the news is pretty good. Just looking at, I guess, so then what we're going to recommend to the full board is that we go with the parameters bond refunding order. And under that, are we looking at just, are we looking at more than one person managing that? Or how, what's the...
In terms of underwriting an issue this size, I mean, I typically see it with one, unless it's a $2 million issue. For any reason the district wanted to go with two, that's certainly something to do as well. I don't think it's going to adversely affect the
rate. Since it's such a small...
Right. So, I mean, you could do one, which is what we normally see on this issue size, two, if the board or the district wanted to do one.
Okay.
Either way, it's not going to adversely affect
the rate. Then we'll go with that on the one. The other thing is I had requested on the last time when we talked about the refunding of looking at if we did in February or June or July, the 80-20, the 20% was left to administration on that point because we were on a crunch time.
That's right.
That we asked to look at a minority firm.
Okay.
And so if you could meet with Ms. Urbina and look at some minority firms where we could give that 20.
Can I have received a couple of... informational packets regarding the refunding is current, and if there are some minority already on the line, I'll share with Maria and move forward.
Okay.
For the big bond.
Yeah, for the big bond.
Does that mean
like right? All right. So if we're okay and we're in agreement to recommend it to a full board. Okay. And
I know Maria has put together a calendar as well. If there's any other questions on this, I'd be happy to
okay. Do you all have anything, Maria? You want to?
It's just the time frame. Good evening. My name is Maria Urbina with First Southwest Company. We had forwarded to the board and to the committee a copy of the proposed time frame for the refunding. As Jeff was mentioning, we're trying to do this before the end of the calendar year. And as you know, we're already in October, and moving very quickly is part of the game right now. In the time frame that we presented to you, basically what would happen after today, if the committee wants to move forward, then we will bring a formal presentation for the entire board next Tuesday. And in anticipation of the board, we have already started working on the preliminary official statements. So Martha has already received some questions from some of our people that are putting together this document. In addition, I know that we've been working with bond counsel to try to formulate some of the bond documents for next week. After the
bond counsel will be present, right?
Next, absolutely.
Next.
Yes, and after the consideration by the board next Tuesday, then what will happen is we'll set rating meetings for the first week of November. Right now we have it at November the 7th. And we'll definitely check with staff and any board members that may want to be, you know, on the call. And so with that, I think the first time that we can actually consider pricing the deal would be the third week of November. Right now we've set it at November the 19th. However, with the parameters resolution, we'll have a little bit of flexibility. We'll be tracking the market and definitely not pulling any refunding until we meet any of the parameters from the board. So with that, hopefully we can close on this transaction by December the 17th.
Just looking at meeting with our rating agencies, the next time I would want to do person-to-person, and I've already had this discussion with administration, and what I really want to do is provide one of the best presentations we can, working with our public information officer on all the information that we've had positively affect the district, so that way I would really like to get a bond upgraded when we do the February bond sale. And so that's going to be a major task for administration, so that way we can look at doing an excellent presentation to our rating agencies.
And if I may just add a comment to that, I mean, if we have enough time to start compiling that information, and I think, you know, the rating meetings coming up here in the next month or so will help us, you know, start, you know, preparing for that particular.
Yeah, and all of it, like the facility stakeholders committee that Doc had, the bond accountability committee, everything that the district has done, the way we addressed it, you know, a good detailed presentation would be great for them to.
And that has been conveyed in the prior ratings we had. You know, I think that's what has assisted us in actually upgrading every single time that we've had it.
Yeah.
Because we have shared a lot of that information. We're definitely compiling it into a formal presentation.
Yeah. They're like forensic accounting experts and
let me suggest, I think it would be a good idea, first off, us to have a staff meeting and in preparation, if any of the board members would like to attend, that'd be great, so we can kind of put a strategy forward in preparation to that.
And I guess the main concern from administration side is if you all think of, oh yeah, we did this too, we did that, make sure that we address everything. If we saw an article on the growth of the district and how it's been addressed, transparency issues, the thing of putting up all, because they don't just look at our finances, they look at what risks we have, whether it's political risks, whether it's financial risks, whether it's, so we need, yeah, everything. So make sure that, anything you all think of, let's write it down so that way we could provide that in part of the presentation. So, is that okay?
Yes, I concur.
So, with that being said, I'm just going to open it up because I know some of you all have a flight out. If any member from the public has any questions for our financial advisors or anything regarding this agenda item, I'm opening it to the floor. With that being said, no one, then thank you for coming out, and that's some good news, especially on the growth of the market. Hopefully we continue to see that growth so that way we're able to lower the tax bill to our constituents. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
With that being said, that could take us to the next agenda item, Ms. Cortez.
Agenda item 2B, potential contract award to TASB for plan review. Presenter is Matthews.
Good evening. This proposal that was included with your agenda item is a continuation of several discussions and presentations that we've had over the last month. It's a combination of TASB and sludge engineering, and is consistent with the board's and the subcommittee's direction last time. To solicit a proposal for plan review at milestones during the design phase and throughout the life of the project.
I had another question for, actually, but it's just administration.
They're not out the door.
Yeah, just real quick, just on, can you call him back?
Dr. Murphy, could you call back Jeff Robert?
Let me just go back to the item, and the major concern I have is the drawdown. And so I want you all to
work.
Just a drawdown of our money when it comes to the bond program.
Oh, on the last item?
Yeah, on the last one. So if we could just go back to the next, the previous agenda item, the presentation of bond series.
Thought you escaped, Jeff.
2006-8. Just real quick with administration and with, as well as Ms. Matthews and our financial advisors, what we need to look at is the drawdown of our bond program when it comes to whatever projects we have, so that way we're not paying more of an interest rate on that than, holding on to it, because unless we had a flex repo about 4 years ago, it would have been great.
Well, yeah, the flex repos right now with that market, it doesn't make sense to lock up
your money
for any extended period of time, because right now you're not even able to get any higher than where the pools are.
And so
we have communicated about the, structuring a timeline so that we do go for the bonds for the second series in a timely fashion and not leaving it hanging there, unused for a while.
And one thing, if I may, that we might be able to help out on is if the district has from the construction folks, just an estimated monthly cash flow or something like that. I'm not saying that we're going to miraculously come up with some investment that's going to earn three times as much if you're earning everything like that, but there may be, an opportunity here and there once you receive that kind of estimate.
And the other thing, I was at council, and I think Maria Urbina was there, but looking at the commercial papers, Carmen Arieta was talking about, can we look at a plan of attack on that and then look at drawing down that, and then you could present to us probably at the next committee meeting.
Okay.
Ms. Searles, go ahead.
I do have a question, Jeff. We are looking to have a district-wide energy management service, and it appeared that we did not have the finances through our bond to do some of the things that we had hoped we would do. I was wondering, Mr. Rodriguez, could we have them, our financial advisors, look over the contract?
We can look at it and make comments on the borrowing.
Yeah, uh-huh, exactly. Absolutely. You know, do we need to do this?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you want me to include that in the recommendation? Because we have that ready for tonight, but I guess it's just the committee.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll discuss it more in detail.
All right. Okay.
With these, you know, enlightenments we've
had
tonight.
What time is your flight out?
8:30.
You want to move that agenda item next?
I think he ought to go up at 8:30.
Well, you could look at it, or...
You said we want to look at it, if that's okay, before... Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it's just...
It's on the agenda for Tuesday night for full approval.
Actually, this isn't the funding part of it, right? Or is it included in it?
Well, if we approve it, I mean, we're going to move in that direction.
Okay.
So could you look at it fairly quickly?
Yeah.
Meetings Tuesday night.
Oh, no, certainly before then. I thought you meant tonight.
Like 30
minutes? Like in the next
like
20
in 10 minutes?
Oh, there's a little room over there.
Okay, then we'll do that, and you'll get their feedback for Tuesday's night. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Was that any other questions? So just, you know, the drawdown and then looking at different financing mechanisms, because what are we at right now? If we get anything on our finances, it's what, one person? Not even one.
Yeah, right now your pools are looking at
3. They're all at 0.2.
Yeah.
They're dismal.
Okay. Then thank you. That's it.
Thank you.
Jeff.
Thank you.
We'll send you that tomorrow.
Okay. Great.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez.
Okay.
Returning to agenda item 2B, potential contract award to Chadby for plan review. Ms. Matthews?
Correct. So this was a continuation of our discussion of the Chadby presentations that have been happening throughout the last couple of months, and this proposal is consistent with the boards and the subcommittee's last direction to solicit a fee proposal for plan review at milestones throughout the design and for the continuation of the life of the project. I don't know if you guys have any questions on CASB's proposal.
Just we're going to hire a bond program manager and a bond project manager, and then we'll have you on staff and then another individual on staff. I think this is probably better, less savings for the district when it comes to that. I'm against hiring them unless the committee feels different on this.
Through the chair.
Are you all okay with that? Okay. Doc?
Can I say something? You know, we've worked hard with TASB, and we appreciate the board's patience, and as we've gone through it, we've brought several iterations of options, this last one being the least obtrusive and the least expensive. You know, we were hoping...
Administration
recommends it, but...
We went from 1.1 million, and pretty much we're not getting...
No, it's 93,000.
No, I know it's 93,000, but we went from 1.1 million... And that was for what we were talking about, the entire thing, but now we're just looking at a plan review, and I think we have those individuals on staff, and we've hired. So I'd rather save that money because it's going to probably be about a little bit less than that a year. So is that okay? Are we okay to recommend just to not recommend anything?
Would you be amenable to just forwarding it without a recommendation?
Yeah.
Forwarding it onto the full board.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that, and we could take action. So that'll take us to the next agenda item.
Agenda item 2C, prepaid debate update, roundtable discussion. Agenda Ms. Matthews.
Okay, and we'll head down that way.
Chair, before we go on to the next item, I just want to make a comment.
Steve Blanco, and Renee, thank you for being here tonight, is also reviewing the TASB thing for legality to make sure we're crossing our T's and dotting our I's, and he will be making a comment on Tuesday night. So with the forward to the full board, we'll be able to get that direction as well.
And we provided a legal memorandum to Dr. Murphy that outlines all legal aspects of connection with compliance in the state law.
He wants to sit next to you.
Yeah, I think you're volunteering then.
And we already read it into the record, right? So we'll start. And who should we go first?
I can give an update.
Okay.
So we, of course, the project is, the design is currently on hold. So we've been meeting on a regular basis. It's been going well. We meet once a week, either on Mondays or Tuesdays, to make sure that that synergy between the CMR and the architect and the owner is going well. And we've made a lot of progress. As far as the budget is concerned, VMAC has been working very diligently in reviewing the 70% construction documents and looking at a shopping list of items, whether some specific things that we requested Canutio to see if it's an add or a deduct, and like a shopping list to see how we can bring the project within budget. Also, of course, with some of you all present this evening, we attended the TASB convention, and of course we saw the Caudill Design Awards in that pavilion. And so we took some of that information and we presented it to Carl Daniel Architects and some of the specific things that we were interested in. And they're reviewing, just taking a time like to pause and to review some of those things that might, to think about what would benefit us towards this Caudill Award and what kind of would make this project stand out for the district. So we feel with those two things, we are in a position now to give better direction to the architect in terms of budget, in terms of design, and of course in terms of mechanical direction, which is another thing that we were kind of on a pause on. And at that point, what we've pretty much decided as a group is, with of course your all's approval, is to move forward with a four pipe system with sufficient kind of implements like energy recovery or economizers, or just like an extremely efficient four pipe system.
Possible energy recovery.
Yeah, exactly.
The four pipe for sure is the recommendation.
Correct. And so together with some of these things, some of the items that you'll see later on this evening and some of the items going to the board, some of the things that we have coming up is the fee proposal for the commissioning. When we're doing a lead project, the commissioning needs to be hand in hand with the design process. So we have that proposal and we have that ready for this next board meeting. And of course, we'll be talking a little bit about the updating of the geotech and the soils testing and construction materials testing. And so we're making some very good progress, and Garnet has found a way to reconcile the budget. He's the chief estimator from VMAC. And so all of this is going to culminate within the next 1 to 2 weeks with a more refined owner's project budget, and then a letter of direction summarizing all of these things, telling the architect, okay, the 70% design, this is everything that we've reviewed, this is our specific direction, and these are our expectations of the 100% design development. And that's
should,
where we're at right now.
Should we actually bring in item G and H?
Sure.
Because that's part of this project, is that correct?
Correct.
Is there anything else part of this project so that way we could try to move this more efficiently?
For the pre-K through 8? No, those are the only two.
E.
Item E.
Yeah.
Item E?
E and F.
Yeah.
Okay, so E.
E, H, and G.
Yeah.
E, G, and H. Well, F affects it as well. F affects the prevailing wage rate discussion affects VMAX estimating. So
are we okay?
That's
well,
a longer presentation. So pretty much E, G, and H.
Well, let's just bring them on just in case, and then if we need a.
Okay.
So E, F, G, H are all part of pre-K, right?
Correct.
And that's it. Okay, so. Do you want to give, just bring it all in?
Sure. Did you want me to start with item E?
Yeah.
So item E is basically what we discussed. It's a four-pipe system.
Oh, go ahead and Ms. Cortez, yeah.
We're putting in item 2C, which would be 2E, update on pre-K mechanical, I'm sorry, pre-K grade mechanical system options and recommendations. 2G, potential contract award and partial split approval by the commissioning of the pre-K project. And 2H, update on geotech studies, soils and materials testing contract.
On our mechanical system, did we have our district-wide energy people on that?
Right now, the conversation is too general. Although they've been present at most of the meetings, we're still kind of deciding on a system, and they're involved at a more specific level.
Then go ahead.
To answer your question, Armando, they have been present. They've only missed one meeting, and they're flying in for it, so we really appreciate that they're here tonight. They're also scheduled to come to next week's meeting already. We appreciate that. And as far as I can tell, they are in agreement because they were in the initial meetings with the four-pipe system as well.
Okay. Because that was part of a discussion last time that you all worked together.
And our engineering firm, Summit Engineering, has been really helpful to us as well.
Okay. So let's go with E and then...
Sure. So the decision was a four-pipe with some energy saving. I don't know if you wanted to speak a little bit more about the options that we discussed.
I guess the big question is why four-pipe, right? Versus the other systems that are considered high efficiency, like variable flow refrigerants or geothermal heat pumps or even packet heat pumps. I'm just going to list some of the reasons why we went this way. One is widely implemented locally. And actually globally, UTEP, EPCC, EPISD, SISD have all, as their standard, have a four-pipe system. And there's a reason for that. It's because it's efficient, you know, it gives you comfort, allows you for better indoor air quality. By centralizing your heavy equipment, your chillers and your boilers, you can make them really efficient. Maintenance goes down because now you're centralized and where you do your maintenance. You don't have, 100 little packet rooftops you got to work on. It's all there. There's local talent, since all these institutions, use chillers and boilers and air handlers, there's local talent out there that knows how to work on them. That's the other thing that, we're looking at. There's plenty of personnel that can work on it. Like I said, we can get everything very highly efficient, by varying airflow, varying water flows, and implementing all these strategies to make it even more efficient. Indoor air quality has become very important lately. Because you use air handlers, you can use different filtrations that are available. One of the things that came up at the meeting was implementing UV lights like they do in hospitals. By putting UV lights inside the air handlers, you keep the coils clean, which drives down your maintenance. And also you kill anything that's in the air. Of course we all have kids, colds, flus, all that gets into the airstream. And kill it at the air handler, so your air is clean. And that's highly implemented in hospitals. There's a lot of pathogens in hospitals, so you want to kill it before it gets to other people, so you don't spread it around. So that's one of the things that hopefully, if our budget allows, we can implement into these air handlers. Increased ventilation rates by using energy recovery methods. We have, like for Socorro and Clint, use energy recovery wheels in the air handlers where we have high ventilation rates, locker rooms, bathrooms and that kind of spaces that require high ventilation rates because you have smells and fumes and all that kind of stuff. So as an extra step here, we implement it school-wide. No school has done that yet, but if the budget allows, we would like to implement it here so that you have essentially the cleanest air of any school district in the area. That's why we're proposing the four-pipe system.
The four-pipe system is a very flexible system. Like there's a lot of things you can add or subtract, there's a lot of design provisions, and it has like pricing flexibility. And a lot of things he was talking about with air quality is that recently the Housing Authority completed a project that was very widely recognized, and one of the key things that they promoted was indoor air quality. And some of these things that gave hospital quality air, but at a level that was appropriate for a regular commercial building. So, and that's something that's very unique that we haven't seen around. So hopefully we can afford to do some of those things. Did you guys have any more questions?
Just, I want to make sure if we're going to go with the four-pipe system that it's going to be, you know, that's what we're going to be consistently going across the board when it comes to our new buildings. I don't want to come back and say, you know what, there's this new system, or, you know what, we're going to do geothermal on the next one. We have one geothermal. We're going to, if that's it, that's the only campus, we're going to have geothermal, and then we're just going to continue to go with the four-pipe system. So that way there's consistency and
We could certainly make that a goal, but I don't want to lock into that, because with Johnson Controls and the all the engineering that's going to have to, and the architecture that's going to go into the rest of the schools, we might, you guys might not.
I'm not saying we're locking in. I'm just saying as the mindset of our administration is, if we're going to go four pipe, we're going to go four pipe. I don't want to come back and say, you know what, we're going to go with the, what's the other system, a two pipe.
Right, but we were also looking at high efficiency.
Yeah, and so I'm just saying if we're going to go with four pipe, that's the goal. Like, unless, you know, stuff comes up and we have to address it at that time, but we need to make sure when we go out for the next bond program that we look at making sure four pipe is the district standard. Go ahead.
Mr. Benegas, are you happy with this?
the four pipe system from a budgetary standpoint is probably the most budget kind product. The course, the package units are much, much cheaper, but you can't get the efficiency ratings and the caliber of air quality that with the four-pipe system. The other system that we discussed, it's so state-of-the-art that the city is struggling with their installations. Mm-hmm. The copper has to be perfect, the horizontal, or when it comes down, it dips and you don't get the air balance. Plus, I said that in schools, it's probably not as recommended because it's shut down during the night, and it's more for office facilities where you kind of run it all the time. And then, of course, the geothermal, after much, much discussion, the rocks issue kept coming up and coming up.
For the wells.
They've actually abandoned it in the toe of the mountain around Colin Powell, where they did all that housing. Mm-hmm. They've actually took that off at geothermal and gone to package units because the rocks are creating voids around the pipes, and it's not keeping it cool, so that the geothermal is not functioning. Johnson Controls engineer also mentioned it. So. And it's expensive. It's very expensive. So
and we wanted
that off the table.
To be able to predictably budget for it. Mm-hmm. You know, so geothermal has a lot of unforeseen conditions. So imagine we have to come back and ask for money because we hit rock or we hit this problem with the subsoil or things like that. So we wanted to be able to budget for it, and something that we could expect to reasonably come within budget.
We feel that the subcontractor base that does these systems We'll get a very good response.
Okay. There's a bigger market for it, so it allows market driven. Just real quick, Steve, right? Steve Franco.
Steve Franco.
Steve Franco is a partner at CPA.
Yeah, and I believe Dr. Murphy had sent out a in our packet that they're going to be out of town, but I guess you're here for them. Okay. So, any questions regarding the pre-K-8 mechanical system as being presented by administration? And I'm did
I have
you
a question on the bond that has been recommended. Do we need to hire, or do we need to train staff for that, or will that be?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
We're going to have train staff for any of these.
Train staff and hire additional staff?
Yes. No, probably not. Well,
no. Well, I mean, in general, when you add the pre-K, we'll have to add staff in general. But one of the things that we're really trying to do, especially in this next budget cycle, having to do is to budget for continuing education of our maintenance department. And Pablo has led the way in that area by signing up for the HVAC program at the community college, which I'm really happy about. And hopefully, anytime there's opportunities, like there was recently a supplier that gave like a three-day seminar on boilers. They attended that all through the HVAC team, and trying to promote that so that we're preparing lifelong learning in the maintenance
for future growth.
Yeah.
That's good. Go ahead.
What does Johnson Control think of the four-pipe system?
We're good with it. We are.
Sure. If there's no more questions from the board or anything, I'm going to open it up to anybody from the community if they have any questions regarding the mechanical system.
Mr. Nunnery's here. Mr. Nunnery? Is that okay?
Anybody? Go ahead, Ms. Maldonado.
The way I understand it, you're saying that the packaging or the other is less expensive, correct? But the quality of the air control is poor.
Not poor, but not up to standards.
And so the one that you're recommending right now is going to be a little bit more expensive, but it has a lot more to offer.
Yes.
Basically. I would like to know the difference between the packaging and the one that you're recommending.
The difference as far as cost?
Dollar amount.
We're looking at about, or next not here, but about $500,000.
More.
And Lily, just as well, long term, if you all, the problem with packaging units is, of course, replacing it and the maintenance, and so those costs aren't associated long term. They're supposed to be more efficient and cost savings.
Yes, I understand that. It's like you pay more now.
Yeah.
But in the long run, you're saving money.
Yeah, exactly. Any other questions, Ms. Maldona?
No.
No.
Thank
you. Okay. If there's no more questions, then I'm okay with recommending it to the full board. Is there need to be a recommendation of the full board on this? Yes.
One suggestion. I'd like to see the employees begin training on this so that when we're up and running, mm-hmm. they know how to do it.
Exactly.
And
yes.
they've seen it all in process and in the progress of being built. They know what it is.
And cross-training, Mr. Nunner?
As they're installing it, will the employees be able to kind of look over shoulders?
That's what I'm asking
for. In the past, we've had like the maintenance go, and if there's like punch list items, like the in-house plumber, he'll go and see when they're roughing it, or you know, different things like that, when they're working.
Well, even the programming and all the other nuances of the system, we need to
be
with it. We're not moving it, and see what's going on.
So they know what it looks like behind the walls as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so we're okay. Any other questions, or we're good? Mr. Venegas?
I wanted to interject something on the item C a little bit, to Jennifer's comments. In the roundtables that we've been having between us, we've been inspired to understand the Cadell Award. And if you don't understand the Cadell Award, it's basically trying to get a school system to incorporate learning into the school design. And I got excited about it because I found out about the OLE. And we're trying to make the courtyard an outdoor learning environment. Hoke Elementary School got a grant from the city. They're putting in vegetable gardens and trying to grow the vegetables and use it in their kitchen. They're also got some kind of a butterfly display, or I don't know. And they also got some McKee Foundation money. And so we're kind of excited about the OLE system, something that we just learned. In addition, as far as trying to do things that are already done, that people have more money, have more expertise, that for instance, a net zero building or solar panels throughout, that's already been done. Chester Jordan's the first lead green school that we did together. Actually, the architect and our firm did together. So I was saying, what makes us stand apart from anybody else in Texas? And it's water conservation. So again, in the OLE system, we're also going to try to see, you know, how you harvest your water and try to save water. And I'm going to try to pull the PSB through Tech H2O. Because that's a learning environment system when it comes to our environment. So I'm excited now about bringing something different to the district in those two directions. And kind of not so excited anymore about solar panels or four pipe systems. Okay, just to put that into perspective.
Did you want to add anything to the PK8 update, and then I'll have Carl
no,
down?
No, just those areas that we're looking at.
Steve, did you have anything to say?
No, I think the meetings that we've been having with Jennifer and staff, It's been and of course, the BMAC, we've had a good combination of discussions, and we're in full agreement. We've been meeting with BMAC on a weekly basis, going over the budget and going over the recommendations and changes to go ahead and get the project done. But we're in full agreement with it, and it's a good working environment between all of us, and I think we're moving forward in the right direction.
And we're looking at a 20. When are we looking for another? Maybe we could have a committee meeting to be able to get the whole grasp.
Be ready to present at the next subcommittee meeting a month from now. I think we'll be ready to provide documents with the definitive direction that the
group. Okay. Then what I'll do is go back to item E, and then that way we could present my committee members. Are we okay to recommend to the full board that we go with the four-pipe mechanical system for our pre-K-8?
Yes, sir.
Yes? Okay. Then we're in agreement to recommend it to the full board. If you could take us to an exit, well, we could go, since we've already said it. Now let's go to item F, Ms. Matthews, or whoever.
Item F, I don't know if you have a copy of this presentation with you all.
Mr. Rodriguez, I'm sorry, but she didn't mention that item. Can you just...
She didn't?
No.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Adding to this agenda item would be item 2F, presentation regarding prevailing wage rate.
Are we looking at Davis-Bacon or what?
Yes, that's correct. So I provided this package, the cover page, and of course this is going to be a board agenda item. And these are the provisions. Basically, what Davis-Bacon is, it's not a specific wage rate.
Go ahead. I got it.
Yeah, it's not a specific wage rate. What it is, and I included some additional information here. It's a requirement that you look at the wages around you, and that you take a survey, and that you are ensuring that the going rate in your surrounding community. Be taken into effect since 1931. It started as a Jim Crow law in the late 1800s when contractors were using it to bring in labor and load the jobs. So our recommendation is basically that it be applicable to all projects over $10,000. The reason for that is that it dovetails with the requirements for bringing contracts to the board. And it also enables some flexibility. Most projects that are under $10,000, for example, we have an emergency repair and we go out and get three quotes to repair a plumbing line or something. Typically, you wouldn't ask for those projects to have a prevailing wage rate. It's basically designed for larger projects that go out to bid. For example, I think that the city has a threshold of $50,000, but we wanted ours to work well with our other rules that we have in place.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Actually, I'm glad we actually did this, because in the past we did go with the Davis-Bacon, mm-hmm. and I was confused if, or I didn't know if they were doing that on the past project. So now that we have you on board, make sure that we're using it across the board, because it's critical. I mean, you don't want to get low-skilled workers, and at the end of the project it's like, okay, this is what you paid for. So.
The second of administration's recommendation would be that we include, that we include it in all of our solicitations here forward when we are soliciting work in excess of $10,000. The third recommendation is that we adopt the prevailing wage rate for building construction trades and a combination of heavy highway trades that are shown in the column, that are shown in the proposed CISC PWR column. And it's in the following two sheets. So what we did was, you can see here, here's Fort Bliss's. Here's mm-hmm. Fort Bliss's. The second one is the county, and the third is the city. You can see that the city is very similar to the county. In fact, they participated together, the El Paso County Hospital District, together with YISD, together with the county and the city of El Paso. They joined efforts because it's very costly to do these surveys, right? EPISD conducted their own survey. So you can see the county and the city, they mimic each other. So one of the reasons why we're proposing to adopt these, because these are most in line with the type of institution that we are. Mm-hmm. Then you can see the next column, the wage that we used at when we built GES, which was a version of the one that they use at Fort Bliss, of course, but the 2006 version. So what we're doing is we're proposing to adopt the county. Now, of course, we're going to know that there's going to be a very competitive environment for labor because of the baseball stadium, hospitals, and various projects that are going on in the district. So you can see the county is very competitive, but there's a very select categories where we chose to use the Fort Bliss rate. One of those is in electricians because it's just slightly higher, so it gives us a little bit of an edge. The other one is in the case of flooring, in the three flooring categories. It's the 1287 versus the 1150. And in a few others where we could fill in a couple of gaps. But it's predominantly the county district. Mm-hmm. This is for the building construction trades.
Now, looking at, I mean, going for the electrical, do you think that we might run into a problem in the near future when we actually go out for, I guess, for our what is it called? The GMP. That
First of all, I'd like to say that Jennifer did an excellent job on this. She really did her homework on it. And it is going to be a very competitive market next year, without a doubt. So the fact that she's matching the most competitive rates, I think, is an advantage to us, because I think there are some people that will prefer to work close to home than to go to Fort Bliss. And now it's not a matter of money. You know, if we're paying electricians 27 and matching Fort Bliss, and the city's offering 25, we're gonna have a competitive rate where people are gonna want to work for us.
Yeah, but my concern is, okay, Fort Bliss project is starting to draw down. We're on the fifth year, and so
the hospital's $1 billion.
Right. Oh,
okay.
They've got the hospital, and then they've got the stadium, and then we've got this project.
Well, I thought they were going to draw down, and so our competitive market would be competing against the county.
They are drawing down. The problem is the hospital.
Okay. No problem. I don't have a problem.
I will just make one comment on the electrician. You can see that under Fort Bliss, there's like this asterisk. It's because it's the 2114 plus the 633 in fringes, and then they have a fluctuating like percentage rate, but I just figured we would leave it fixed at the 2747, because that's too hard to monitor. So they do that only in the case of electricians. So, but we are adopting a fixed rate.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the second page has to do with, and this is the other reason why we're adopting the county, has to do with the heavy highway trades. So you'll notice that the county and the city have a single category, which is heavy highway, right? But if you look up with the federal government, like the ones that Fort Bliss used, since they do a lot of different kinds of work, they have a section that's exclusively heavy, a lot more detailed. Like they have a section that's exclusively highway, like they have offshore pipelines, like they have a prevailing wage rate for tunneling, onshore pipelines, because there's just so many different kinds of work. So because of the type of entity we are, we don't really need all that level of detail, and we just need a general heavy highway rate like what the county and what the city do. So if you look at the rates that we've adopted for them, for example, highway has some additional costs. Like some of these, you can see the ones in the different shades of blue. Like, for example, there'll be a certain rate, like in the case of electricians, there's like a rate for heavy and a rate for highway. So which we beat both, but there's a few where we try to be competitive in the heavy category, or where we supplement it. But it's primarily the county rates as well.
Okay.
And all this means is that the first rate she showed you is the building. Anything 5 feet outside of the building is this other rate. That's usually the way they describe the breakdown. Parking lots, storm drainage, utility lines.
Utilities. Okay. Does anybody have any questions? No. Nobody? No community members?
And then, okay. Is
there more?
Are
we talking about the job descriptions?
So you, together with this, the county, they originally did this in 1999, and then they went back and reviewed it in 2004, and then again in 2008. 2008 is the version that's currently widely adopted. And they've implemented the 2012 definitions, which are the ones that we propose that you adopt. And they do have a 2012 survey that's out, but they're still like compiling the results and working on it. And so by adopting the 2008 rate in the 2012 definitions, you will be the most up-to-date and in alignment with what pretty much everyone else is doing.
Are we going to be looking at this like every year, every two years?
They try to do it every 4 years.
Every 4 years.
Although next year there's probably going to be a 2012 version that comes out, but we can look at it sometime.
So is that the best practices? In other words, we'll follow that type of...
Right.
Okay. And if nobody has any questions, I don't mind recommending it to the full board. Are you all okay with that? Yeah. Okay. And that would take us to the next agenda item. And it's a good thing that you brought it. I was going to ask for something like this, because the other thing, and we'll talk about it under J, but and I talked to you about that, so I'm glad you brought this up. Thank you.
Good job, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Yeah, she took me by surprise. Usually we discussed this in 2006 and implemented something. We decided to match Fort Bliss, and for some reason, I forgot to bring it up, and she just dropped it on us this week. So.
Okay. Good job. That'll take us to, is that G?
So, G, whenever you're doing lead projects, you're required to hire commissioning. So we used an RFQ that we had, and Park Hill Smith Cooper was selected as the top-ranked vendor, and I believe that we brought that at our last board meeting. So we asked them for a fee proposal, and they have seen the drawings for the 70% design development of the pre-K, and they're bringing a proposal of $150,000. Park Hill Smith and Cooper has a, and I can't quote them right now if you ask me, but they are a fairly large firm, and they have several locations throughout Texas, and their main office is in Lubbock, and they have some engineers that are specialized in commissioning and have, you know, all these extra certifications. I can't quote them off the top of my head, but they're very experienced in this.
It would be better if it wasn't discussed at this point.
Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Especially
yes,
if there's...
Just don't talk about it.
When I look at...
Oh, wait.
Sorry, Ron. Page 6
we may in our board packet,
this is back
to
Tasby. You've got their vendor name as being Park Hill Smith and Cooper.
Yes.
What's that?
Oh, you know what? That is a mistake.
Page.
Because I copied the template. Yeah, I'm sorry. This is contract award to TASB. Yes, the vendor should obviously say TASB.
Not be that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's a typo.
Okay.
I'm really
that
sorry.
That confused me. And with that, what are these people going to do here that these people weren't going to do there?
Oh, so TASB.
Yeah, you've got this. And
yeah,
this.
Exactly. So TASB will conduct a general plan review that includes all aspects of the site, from the parking lots to the roofs to the building envelope and the windows and all those kinds of things. Commissioning is pretty much, it's primarily the mechanical and electrical systems, but really focuses on mechanical. And so what they do is they look at the, they create like an owner's project requirements, and they set the standard at which they want the building to perform. And then they work together with the engineers, and they ensure that they review the plans and specifications to make sure that these requirements are met throughout. They're like a third party. Mm-hmm. And then throughout the construction, they review all of the submittals, and then throughout the construction, they're there during the process, because there's some things that are very specific to lead buildings. Like, for example, if you're on a large 15-acre site, and normally if you go on the site, they just put the like the building ducts out there and stuff. Like in these requirements, they store the ducts standing up. They are required to put covers and tie them so there's no dust along the inside. You know, I've been on projects where that's not the requirement. You can even find like rocks inside the ducts and stuff like that, you know? Yeah. And so in other words, they're making sure that everything is kept clean, and then they go back, sometimes they run the systems through the building where you cleanse out all the VOCs and all the chemicals, and they just keep it running. And then they go back and they test it to make sure that the building is operating. For example, you could go and you could design it and you could build it, and then technically it's built to spec and you walk away, right? But they will go back and they will measure, like, They have like hoods that go underneath the decks to make sure you're getting the cubic feet per minute, to make sure the filtration is there. In other words,
it's all about the mechanical systems.
Primarily.
Think of them as quality control experts. Mm-hmm. What they'll do is, let's say that the unit has 10 horsepower, and it's supposed to run at 60 hertz. They'll measure that if it's running at 75, then they'll put it down. They'll say, deficiency noted, running at 75. It'll probably work, probably doesn't have much of an impact. But it could take down the life of that motor, so they know that. So what they're doing is they're doing what they call statistical analysis of all of your running systems. And what they'll do is we'll check the quotation. They do various levels of that statistical analysis. So let's say you had 20 exhaust fans. Maybe they'll check three for conformance and everything. If those three check out, then they'll say, okay, that's fine, it's commissioned. But if those three don't check out, then they have to go back to check all 10.
Understand.
Here's an example that I found at the last job I was working for. Everything was built, they provided the equipment that was spec'd and everything, they went back and checked it, and one area had a lot of air volume and another had very little. And when they went back and checked it, the commission, they realized that they had two units that were very similar in appearance but had different capacities, and the units were swapped at locations, so they were feeding different areas. And so they had to disconnect everything and then, like, you know, swap the units. So it's like, did the contractor give you everything that you paid for? Yeah, sure, he did. Did he? I mean, it was just, you know.
Have
some,
we used
some
this on our other schools?
Garcia was commissioned. This is a little step up, because they're going to also commission the lead portion of it. You know, is it the air quality? What she's talking about is to make sure that's part of the green environment.
Do you want to speak about your relationship with the commission?
It's essentially another set of eyes. They make sure that the lead design gets done correctly. I mean, I'm not sure. That's okay. They do go through our plans and make recommendations, improving our plans. Design still ours, but they make sure that what we spec actually gets put in the plan. So many times you get a submittal of a certain piece of equipment, we all sign off on it, it's exactly what we want. And you got on the field and it's something else. So they make sure that what the contractor is going to install actually gets installed.
And did they give us the guarantee?
Well, they cannot guarantee the work of the contractor, but
they guarantee their work.
We guarantee it.
Yeah.
If they
but
find
I mean,
something
did they
that's
guarantee their work that, you know, like if the air conditioners aren't working, mm-hmm. they go, oh, no, we checked all that stuff. It's all working. And the teacher's going, no, it's not. It's really not very cool in here.
What it is it's a good third-party verification for the lead requirements. Lead says, okay, we know that you hired a mechanical engineer. We know that you hired a mechanical subcontractor. We know that maybe you have a test and balancing contractor. All of this comes together. And if you were to say, okay, submit your results, there wouldn't be anything to submit other than it was built for plans and specs. This third party is certifying that it meets plans and specs, and that he personally checked it off. And you'll get a big book on everything that's checked, and the date that he reviewed it, the date that it was corrected, the deficiency that was noted, pictures of the deficiencies that are noted. So it's a very thorough.
The lead process doesn't allow, you know, take your word for it from the engineers or any of us. They want a third-party inspection. At Garcia, we did all the balancing and everything, but like I said, this is going to take it a step further on the air quality. And the.
To your knowledge, is that the first time we ever used this kind of at Garcia?
No, a test and balance and everything's pretty typical. I'm sure you did it at you know, most of your projects, but... But
I don't think you ever hired a third party to do your commission.
No, not like to the extent that this is going to be.
The other thing about commissioning is it goes beyond the contractor. It goes into the way that that it's being operated. So oftentimes, depending on the commissioning plan, they'll come 6 months or a year after the building is operation, because maybe some of the changes in the performance of the building are due to maintenance, or we weren't operating it properly, or, you know, different things like that that are related to the way that the end user is, you know, it's implementing the system and not even something that is actually built.
You actually catch design flaws and construction flaws.
One of the important aspects of the committee as well is the fact that we're trying to go ahead and go lean on this project, and we're trying to get as many points as we can. And when you bring the commissioning agent on board early on, we get extra points just because they are there from the very beginning, monitoring our progress and reviewing our plans. And since they're going through the entire process, LEED certification will go ahead and see this, and they will allow us additional points, which would add up to our overall LEED certification. So it's very important that we do have the commissioning agent on board early on, so that they can go ahead and monitor our drawings, and that way it gives us an opportunity to add additional points to achieve our LEED certification.
Every project at Fort Bliss has a commissioning third party. Every single project is just standard.
Did you all, anybody have any questions regarding the, so now we need a recommendation to approve the contract?
I have another question.
Okay.
I'm reading in a letter that they've written to you that they're going to do the high school as well, and that's included in this price, but when I look on another page, I see an additional $8,200.
That's correct. What happened is I was working on two things simultaneously, but and that's
we don't have that item.
Item I.
Do you want us to address it?
Yeah, they submitted a single fee proposal. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they put
so
it together.
I attached that fee proposal for item I, and then I attached that fee proposal for this item.
This, what we're looking at on this one, is inclusive of everything?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
It includes the other.
Okay.
And just for...
two fees on the same proposal.
Just for clarity purposes, keep in mind that this is part of the upgrade package that we're trying to do at this project. You know, we have some goals. One of the goals is to get a LEED certified school, which we feel is in reach and in budget to do so. And the other one is to be noticed and to get some recognition, whether it's a Caudill Award or something, for this project. So just keep in mind that this is part of that.
Is there any way to get this down in cost?
I could visit with them.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
Would you like me to?
Oh, well, actually, we can discuss price.
Oh,
so,
negotiation phase. Until we sign the contract, we really should be reviewing the price.
Yeah. So, what we'll do is recommend it to the board.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
From what I'm understanding, in the other school projects that we've constructed, there have been many, we've never had a third party go in and do what you're asking. And so who is responsible if it's not the commissioning, if you're not commissioning this third party to do it? Who would be the extra set of eyes?
It's called the test and balance, right, Jose?
Yes, sir.
And that has been done at your other schools. The difference is that this is a much upgraded version of that.
But if you didn't have this upgraded version, who would be the test and balance set of eyes?
Well, it's...
The contractor?
No.
The district?
This extra set of eyes has mostly to do with a green environment. And what Jennifer's saying is we've been exposed, and what they're trying to change is... In the old days when they would have ducks laying around, the ducks that are up in here in this room right now, they were laying on the ground getting full of dust. They install them, they run the system, and we're exposed and breathing all that in. The chemicals in this carpet is being sucked in through the ventilation system, and we're breathing it every day. So that is part of changing that. There's the it's called, you know, a lower VOCs.
Yeah.
And they're going to monitor all that. And
the LEED board, right, the people, and the what is the group called, the LEED, that they're requiring.
What we're trying to do, we're trying to get a LEED, a green environment school, and by doing this, the contract gets points for the project. I understand all that, but my concern is the money. As a community member and a taxpayer, I'm concerned with that money. Because if we haven't done it in the past, and I realize that global and anything, and that we're subject to all kinds of germs and stuff, but hey, I've been here for so many years in this ward, and I'm still alive, thank God. But my real concern is what is the benefit to the district?
So
if something goes down in 2 years, if the contractor said that I put this unit here, and somehow later on in a few months or years down the line, you find that for some reason, just like the example that you gave, it was swapped, right? How long are these people going to be liable?
Well, they're not, because they perform a review, but they don't guarantee the work of the contractor. They're just like a peer review. But to answer your question, like in some of the building additions where we're most likely not incurring the additional expense of the commissioning, it's the engineer. He will go back and review the work of the contractor. He'll go back and look at those things. He'll generate his own punch list. He'll make sure it's built according to what he designed and requested. And so with his punch list and peer review, together with the testing and balancing, I mean, you are insured a good product, a good end product. But commissioning is simply that it's going above and beyond, and it is required to obtain a LEED certification.
Okay, well then my comment then, if you're going to do this for this school, then any other projects that you do, I expect that the quality of what you're putting into it would be the same thing.
Yeah. That's. I mean, depending on the board's mission, but part of my vision is to actually start seeing this done, and even looking at some of our past buildings to try to make the, and we'll talk about it later on. Maybe make the high school LEED certified. We have the option of doing that as well. So.
Another comment is that you turned down or to TASB the plan review. I'm assuming that under their. Requirements or what they would be saying they would be doing under the plan review would possibly include something
yes.
as such, and yet you're recommending it without basically a recommendation, no action taken, right, to the board.
Well, it's to recommend it. There's still contract negotiations, and so we can't discuss that. That's administration. That's. It might be mine.
Well, my, you know, I'm just a little concerned about the dollar amount. What was recommended before by TASB was not.
What was mine?
Well, don't get too confused on the two things. TASB is going to do a plan review, and basically, it's going to help advise you all as owners our up and down list with the architect. The architect has his wish list. We have our comments saying it's going to cost so much to do this, and the reason why we break it down that way is we want to be fair. You know, if there's a, you know, right now there's a talk about the metal roofs are part of the design element of the job, and we're saying, okay, well, the metal roofs are going to cost for this project, and metal roofs you can say are a better product, if you know, but anything can be a better product as long as it's maintained. So that's a cost issue. What TASB will do is they'll help advise the district on that information, and also go through it and have their comments on the actual drawings and the functionality of the building.
But that's what you all are doing right now at this stage.
That's what we're
well.
Doing too.
So it's duplicating.
Well, let me interject something here. In Chicago, nobody can build anything unless it's LEED certified. They've adopted it as a city ordinance. The city of El Paso is also heading that way. It is the future. You know, it's just like the school district. Why aren't you staying with evaporative air conditioning? It's cheaper, right? You know, it works, but you have to move to the air quality and the demands of the code and the improvements in the environment that we are using. And LEED is here to stay. LEED is going to be, you know, this is inside the city. You know, the city may tomorrow, next year, adopt that everything built. I know all of their projects have to be LEED certified. Yeah. And to be an architect, to even bid on to propose on a city project, you have to be LEED certified as an architect. So this is the future. This is the best that you can offer your children, and in my case, my grandchildren, is the future is green. It's not going backwards. Yes, we could put swamp movers in this this school and they'll work. They'll be very cheap. We can delete the commissioning. We can delete the refrigerated air conditioning and cut the price, you know, a couple of million dollars. But it's not going to meet the requirements of the future of what all the school districts will be going to, what the city will be going to, and Fort Bliss is already there. And I just wanted to interject that.
Fort Bliss also, what they do is they'll make you design and commission and build per the LEED standard, but they don't actually pay for the certificate on the wall. They don't want it. They said if the contractor wants it to put it on his wall, he can pay for it. But the actual commissioning, they pay for it to make it. And like Oscar said, I mean, it is here to stay. I mean, for all we know, it could end up 10 years from now being like asbestos. If you have high VOCs, 10 years from now, the code might say we have to start taking it out in all our schools. We don't know yet.
Does that any other questions? Or?
I'm so concerned with that. You tell me all you want. I mean, I understand exactly where you're going. I understand the whole bit. But I'm still, it's
pricey.
Yeah, and what the overall thing is, in the long term, you're supposed to, that's where the savings is going to occur. And so it's required by the green building standards to actually have that commissioning, sort of like the state requires our energy management to have that commissioning to make sure that there's that energy savings. So that way there's a check and balances and not just you're just getting it from the contractor or the design person. So it's just an extra thing.
Could the recommendation probably be to further negotiations?
Yeah, we could.
And I have something else that I can add to this. There's always a big conversation about why are we doing concrete parking lots versus asphalt? And there's always a little bit more cost involved in that. But once you actually run the numbers, you find out that over time, you end up spending triple in an asphalt parking lot. So I think Jennifer, by saying we're going four pipe and green, I'm sure that she can do an energy cost analysis with Johnson, with their controls, and say, you know, Garcia is a great school. It was test and balanced. It's working at its optimal condition, but it's not going to be as efficient as this one. So you can maybe do a check between that, and there could be justification over time on how much you're going to save.
When this was proposed to the community and the taxpayers, was this included in the dollar amount for the pre-K building?
The discussion was,
yeah,
from my understanding.
Caudill, the best school we could build.
But I'm talking dollar amount. So you gave a specific dollar amount for that school. Did it include the price of what you're talking
it's
about?
It's in the budget, right?
It's in the budget. Yes. Garnet, who's not with us tonight, yes, has placed this within the budget.
Any other questions? No? Okay, so then we'll just recommend that we further negotiate and bring it to the board on Tuesday.
And just have Jennifer run a life cycle cost analysis, you know, a 10-year return or something, Jennifer, to show them the savings on this, and then
or,
maybe some...
Or energy.
Mr. Bernal did a really good first level.
Yeah, I think Mr. Bernal's already done this.
He's already looked at that, and so he can tell you. He did a really good analysis.
Do you have any numbers to throw at it, Jose, just to...
No, not off the top of my head.
Okay, that's
fine. Jennifer, maybe you could provide that to us.
Friday.
Which is the Thursday packet. Which so is maybe a Thursday on Monday packet. We could have those or tomorrow.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or how about for Tuesday night?
No, we've got to look at it
oh,
sooner than that,
tomorrow.
Sure.
Okay.
Tomorrow I'll email you.
All right, I'm sorry. Good point.
Okay, so that will take us to the next item. Which is H? Update. No, we're doing all the pre-K 8 stuff. So H?
H. On your upcoming board meeting, you'll see a couple of agenda items, which are for district-wide, one RFQ for district-wide surveying, which is something that we need for the remainder of our bond projects. And another for district-wide geotechnical and construction materials testing, which is something else that we'll be needing for the remainder of our bond projects, pre-K 8 aside. And with that, I was wondering, thank you for joining us this evening, if you might be able to provide an update on the soils testing for the pre-K through 8?
Well, there was some confusion related to possible recommendations and the board's consideration of what company to award this contract to. To avoid any confusions and to avoid any potential conflict, the best thing to do is just conduct the interviews again. Go out, re-interview. And the interviews can be done by this committee, mm-hmm. and a recommendation can be made to the board, or the board can be engaged and they can conduct the interviews as well. Or you could have a combination of both. And based on those interviews, on the recommendations, and the board makes a decision. But the simplest solution to any potential confusion or conflict now is re-interview.
So we're going to be setting up, interviews with those individuals that are able to partake in that work and that have submitted their RFQs, and we'll be setting up something soon, and I believe it's to the full board, so that way, since we are on a time... So
how many vendors, they have been ranked by committee and all that.
Who's eligible to interview?
Yes, exactly.
Well, one of the things that you have to determine first is the scope of services and the scope of work to be performed. You have to determine which ones of those entities are ready, willing, and able to perform services in particular areas. The board can also consider, with your all's recommendation, breaking it up with different entities. There's really no limitation as to who you interview. You could interview all entities that were considered and ranked before, or you can invite additional entities to come to the table to be interviewed as well.
Respective to the specifically to the RFQ, the initial RFQ, would the entities that could be invited to interview have to have said in their RFQ? No.
It's whoever responded to the RFQ.
But Ron can help. The RFQ was right. Set up to where they could choose certain pieces.
Yeah, well, whoever responded to the RFQ when it comes to the geotech study, the soils and material testing,
right.
We'll be interviewing those as a full board as soon as possible so that way we can move forward.
Okay. And for the record, I think it's important to point out the board's original recommendation was to interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and we appreciate the CMR and their efforts to help us, but we're going to have to go back and do that.
So okay. Go ahead and move forward with with setting up the interviews. Okay.
So that would take us to the next item, and I guess we could go back up there. Now we're done with all pre-K-8 stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Does anybody have any questions regarding pre-K-8 stuff? If not, then we could move on to the next.
And also on that topic, you're going to, I guess this is also a law question, you're going to make it less convoluted for us where you're going to go ahead and if it's surveying, it's surveying. If it's geotech, it's geotech. Because we were trying to, there's a few different things that you're going to need for that project.
Yeah. It's whoever responded to that. So we'll interview those as a board, and then we'll rank them, and then whatever the board's decision is, whoever they feel is the best, then we'll go from there.
I'm fine with that. I'm just saying that you don't want the last time there's multi-dimensional and then there's specific to. So I'm saying this time you're going to do it specific to.
Yeah, well, we'll do
so
either or.
So if it's just geotech, you're just going to interview geotech guys. Or if it's just surveying or engineering.
I don't know. That's the administration's. I think it's either or.
That's more of an administrative question in terms of what is being proposed, what services are being sought, and that's really going to drive what the responses are and what questions will be asked during the interviews.
Yeah. See, that's where the confusion came in, because it was put out kind of like a professional services request. But for instance, if you wanted to just test the concrete at Trevor Schools, that's not a professional service. That's a competitive number. So you take the cylinders correctly and you bust them. So that was part of the confusion that we had. We had the professional services versus a
laboratory. So we had put everything together, right?
Correct. And that's all we're trying to say, is that let's just not make the same mistake twice.
So I would say open it up so that you have more consideration. That RFQ was put out over a year ago, as far as I understand.
But if we put out the RFQ again, then we're running into the same problem of the time.
A month or two.
We are putting out an RFQ to address district-wide needs for those things, but we are interviewing for what is immediately needed for your
school. So just geotech, then?
Just geotech.
But we could possibly add it district-wide when it comes to geotech.
Yeah, you can interview for that for those and stuff, too, if you want to. Yeah.
What is most critical right now, when it comes to the construction materials testing, that can be rolled in. What is most critical right now is simply the geotech for the pre-K through 8.
Just so we know how to
design the foundation. Yeah, we need the soils
that
report.
That is the most critical thing. And we could interview for that.
You could limit the scope and set real small and just get that out of the way.
I would say we're 5 months late on that already. So that's the urgency there. So
is that what we're interviewing, the geotech?
Just geotechs.
And just for the pre-K, or could we widen it to district-wide in the same interview?
I don't see why not.
Yeah, we can.
The RFQ read for all bonds.
Yeah, it was district-wide, so.
So we could do either or. We could limit it in the interviews or go wide.
And as part of our recommendation, we just said we recommended that you economy of scale, you do negotiate district-wide.
Are you going to separate it? Geotech and survey. I mean, they're two different.
Yeah, they're.
They're going to separate them now. Yes.
Yeah, they're separating them. They're doing two RFQs.
Before we were combining
them together because it's two different entities.
Okay. So separating.
It would be better if you separate geotech, just do geotech, and do surveying as separate. Two different entities.
Okay, so surveying. Those are the two things that we need done, right, Jennifer? Those are the two things that we need is the surveying and geotech.
Surveying,
right?
We can even live without for now. It's the geotech that's real critical.
But the geotech, does the geotech include the soils and materials testing?
Yes.
So that's what we need to do, right? And that's what the urgency is. And then we could, it's a different type of professional or whatever service.
It's completely a different type of engineering.
Okay. So then let's go with geotech, bring that. And if you can, and Phil, we can, district-wide.
And like they said, before we were rolling the surveying and all of these things in one package, now we're going to separate them. So I don't know if your RFQ had any survey guys proposed.
Do we have that?
We have them listed separately. So
on the survey, so we do have survey? So we could possibly knock out both of them district-wide? Let's look at that so we don't have to meet twice. We'll do geotech. Yeah, we'll interview geotech. Did I say it correct? Yes. And we'll interview surveys that night if we can, if they've responded to the RFQ. And we have that, correct? So that way we don't have to meet.
And Dr. Murphy, to answer your question, the surveying, it's very minimal what we need, but it's more for control. So if Hunt gave you a boundary survey and then there's landmarks on the street, you know, we're going to have your guy check it and leave us one mark that says this is good, and then we take it from there. But you need that. We need that third party to say that is good.
So we don't build on the road or
something. You never know if Hunt changed something and then we didn't understand it and then we build a school in the wrong location.
No, we're in need of surveying, though, for the rest of the bond project because now everybody's got their schematic design pretty much lined up, right? So we need
district-wide
boundary surveys for all the other, for the high school, you know, for CES that's doing the drop-off.
The other area that we haven't cut an agreement with the electric company, the gas company, so sometimes they ask for easement rights, and those have to be surveyed and broken out and then submitted to them. Then they'll finish their cost analysis, then they'll schedule us for that work. So surveying becomes very important for the utility companies if they need easement rights.
Let me ask something else. What if it's very highly likely that no one directly responded for this RFQ for surveying? So
then we would have to go out for an RFQ for those in.
Can we plan on that so that we can save an extra?
Did anybody respond to that?
For our surveying,
for geotech, yes.
But it was, surveying was on the RFQ. Well, can you all research and let us know? Because if we've already sent that RFQ, there's no point in sending another one. But if we haven't, then go ahead and go out with the RFQ for the surveying.
But I'm like 95% certain that there is no responses for surveying.
Okay, then we would have to go out for an RFQ for surveying.
Okay, so then let me, if I may, Chairman, when we were at this table last time, David, very good-natured, offered the option of just letting them pick the geotech, which turned out to be in...
Well, we said you all three would work together to make the recommendation.
Could, right, yes. Could, and I'm not trying to put it on David. I appreciate VMAC's help. But could we, on the surveying, use a CMR recommendation?
Let's just go out for RFQ.
I would say surveying is going to be under, at each time, under 10,000.
It is going to be under the 10,000?
Oh, yeah, easily. Like, yeah. Some of these surveys for, like, let's just say with some of these buildings additions, it's going to be, like, $2,000.
Do you need a professional?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's a professional surveyor, yeah.
Well, can you get all that stuff and then get with us at the board meeting?
The big money's in the geotech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will you do that and let us know if we have? And if that's the case, then we could go out. Let's just get it done. And if not, then let us know if we have to go out for the RFQ. If it's under the 10,000, you all could, right, correct me, you all could do that administratively. So.
All right. Well, okay. We'll have an update on Tuesday.
Just get everything ready for us on Tuesday, then.
Yes, sir.
Speaking with Steve, even though it was under the 10,000, we would still have to go out for the RFQ because they were professional services when it came to engineering.
Then if we don't have it under this RFQ, then we have to go out for an RFQ. So, is that correct?
That's probably the safest way to do it.
Okay. Then we'll do that.
2 years ago, we had the football field surveyed for the blue turf, blue and orange turf, and we didn't go out for anybody for that because it was so cheap. It was like $1,000.
We just
did it.
Only like $1,000. Can we do that? Please?
Let's do it the safest way.
Okay, all right.
Let us re-examine that one more time. What we want to do is we want to avoid any potential problems of any kind.
Yeah, correct.
Because that's just additional cost and headaches for you.
Okay.
And I know you want to do it as quickly as possible, but...
Yeah. No, we're fine.
Okay, then let's go up to do item D and I together.
And item 2D, update on district-wide energy management services. And item 2I, potential contract award to CSP for the DAR and CSPC review for the Alameda High School Johnson Control Partner. Presenter, Ms. Hadley, Mr. Bean.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, let's take a 5-minute recess break.
Thank you.
And then we'll convene after that. That's mine. Let me switch it off with Dr. Murphy.
Did you want the architect to mess the sticker up?
Well, if you guys...